Let me welcome everyone here this evening. I would ask members of council, has anyone any disclosures they wish to declare relative to the agenda this evening? Seeing none, we'll allow that to be entered into the minutes, and certainly if perhaps one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying the conflict, and we'll have that also entered into the minutes. At this time, that brings us to, of course, the previous minutes. What's council's pleasure with respect to the adoption of the previous minutes? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you. Move the minutes be adopted as listed.
And moved. Is there a supporter? Councilor Pinon supports that motion. Discussions? Business arising? Errors or omissions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. That brings us to our recognitions, our long services awards this evening. We have three awards. Unfortunately, Elka LeBlanc, due to scheduling problems, was not able to attend this presentation, but we have with us nonetheless Dwayne Grondin, who is a recipient or will be a recipient of 10 years of long service working for the town of Amherstburg, and also our fire chief, Randy Sinisak, will be receiving a 15-year recognition of long service award. Michelle, would you take care of them, please? And the press can, you can go out and have the pictures taken also. Could you make that announcement?
Thank you. It is my pleasure to be presenting long service awards this evening to Dwayne Grondin and our fire chief, Randy Sinisak. So first I'd like to recognize Randy for his 15 years of service. Randy's career with the town of Amherstburg began in 1989 when he was hired as a part-time firefighter. His hard work and dedication to firefighting led him through a series of promotions, from lieutenant to part-time fire prevention officer, inspector, then to a full-time firefighter, deputy chief inspector, and finally the chief of fire for the town of Amherstburg. Throughout his service, Randy has taught as an instructor for the pre-entry program at St. Clair College and as an associate instructor at the Ontario Fire College. Randy's been a role model and an inspiration to the town's firefighters. It is an honor to present you with this award for 15 years of service. Congratulations. Among his many skills, he is the designated overall responsible operator for the Amherstburg drinking water system and is a certified engineering technologist. The Public Works Department has received numerous compliments and thank yous when dealing with Dwayne because of his excellent customer service and extensive experience. The town has evolved and grown in many ways in the past 10 years, and Dwayne has been a strong part of the evolution, influencing the Public Works Department all the way. Congratulations, Dwayne. Tonight we're honoring your many accomplishments and your 10 years of dedicated service to town.
Take that envelope back and give him a plaque too.
Thank you, Worship.
You're welcome, Chief.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda?
Thank you, Your Worship. Item 10.1, Amherstburg's 2013 Tall Ships Festival.
Just before we go with the next presentation, if council would be kind enough to move the receipt of the presentation that we have just did. Councilor Pilon, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Motion is again carried unanimously. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Your Worship, Council. I forgot to introduce Ann Rhoda and Jen Abraham will be doing the presentation this evening.
To begin, we just have a very quick slideshow that identifies some highlights of the Tall Ship Festival.
Enjoyed the clip that captured the essence of the Tall Ships Festival 1812 tour weekend in Amherstburg. Myself and, of course, Jennifer Abraham, manager of the Visitor Information Center, facilitated the project, and we are here tonight to present to you the post report. From August 30th to September 1st, we were known as Port Amherstburg. In the national and regional catchment, our partners became Transport Canada, Ministry of Tourism, Tall Ships America, Windsor Port Authority, and other participating ports. For this weekend, our transformation was recognized and referred to as a sanctioned port.
Aside from land programming and activities that were offered, Amherstburg recreated its waterfront to meet and comply with marine and waterway standards and procedures. This included security, such as acts of terrorism training for all of the secure zone volunteers, inspection intervals, access, and occasion use legislation.
We were subject to daily Transport Canada inspections and are proud to say that all of our measures passed with flying colors.
As you know, we were part of a regional collaboration with Windsor, Kingsville, Pelee Island under the collective banner of Coastal Trails Sails to Sea.
The regional impact of the festival shows some very promising highlights. Combining budgets and resources, the four communities were able to leverage investments of $525,000 for event facilitation and organization. Regional attendance figures of almost 70,000 people. Growth of hotel and accommodations revenue for the month of August 2013 was over and above 15%. Canada South Festival Network statistics, who conducted surveys within the four communities, show over 30% attendees were from out of the province and over 20% from Michigan. Of note, we conducted our own Amherstburg surveys and showed that Amherstburg accommodation providers were at 100% occupancy.
To continue regional impact, creation of regional branded label and festival template for future collaboration between municipalities. Website traffic of over 35,000 visits to coastaltrails.ca, providing access to many heritage sites connected to the War of 1812 and information on tall ships inclusive. Media exposure, creating digital impressions of well over 500,000. Visitor network of over 400 individuals was utilized. 30% of the out-of-town attendees came specifically for our festival. Of note, by media impressions, that means that the Coastal Trail Sales to Sea brand was viewed through the internet well over a 500,000 times. This is probably the biggest benefit from the partnership gained by the province and our regional partners. Amherstburg was highlighted and covered in markets that we would have never been able to afford. From Michigan, New York, Boston, Tennessee, Ottawa, and Toronto, readers knew about Port Amherstburg.
Now, some of our local impacts. An estimated 17,000 people attended the three-day event. Approximately 4,700 people paid to tour the Friends, Goodwill, and the Lynx combined. 47 local and regional entertainers performed on stage or on the festival grounds. 1,200 people attended the outdoor movie night at King's Navy Yard Park, and 12 local and regional artists exhibited their artwork at the festival site.
To continue local impact, 300 people attended the Women's March presentation. Town of Amherstburg Recreation and Culture Facebook followers increased by 20% as of July 2013, when marketing was heavy. Four restaurants from the downtown core offered tall ship themed menus. Restaurants reported sizable business increase over the weekend. One marriage proposal was held aboard Ship's Friends Goodwill, but this is a positive report, not a negative one here. One wedding ceremony was conducted aboard Ship Lynx with a party of 52 people who also booked a local restaurant for their meal. Overnight guests booked at local B&B, the party paid an additional Town of Amherstburg park fee.
Now to our finances. The festival expenses came to $85,562. This included two tall ships and their contract fees, Tall Ships America contract fee, the barge and the generator to create the infrastructure for our port, the marketing, festival site logistics such as tent, fencing, the movie, outdoor bathrooms, and the performances. The revenues generated and recovered was a total of $59,023. That was derived from passport sales, individual band sales to Amherstburg Port only, our merchandise sales, some sponsorship, and some provincial support. So the net cost of the festival to the Town of Amherstburg was $26,539,000, and that was part of our 2013 base budget. So we are happy to report that we actually came in under budget. Over $22,000 was recorded in in-kind value provided by local businesses, things such as water, food for the volunteers, a local auto business gave vehicles for both ships for the crews, marketing buys, signage, children's programming, and dedicated tours and events. When we plan special events, we have to carefully understand our goals and plan for the budget accordingly. Grants and sponsorships really are a bonus. Coming out of 1812 Bicentennial, we purposely did not rely on the grants, and in the end, as I said, actually stayed under budget. A special mention about the in-kind. Time and time again, we cannot underscore the generosity of our own local businesses and supporters. We can always count on our community to step up to the plate in welcoming visitors and going the extra mile to ensure a memorable experience.
The Women's March was a news story about Amherstburg's women who saved the town from burning. Now, this doesn't bring a tear to my eye. This brings a smile to my face. But during the Tall Ships, this legend was brought to light and gained national attention and became the face of the Tall Ship Festival in our region. It made the headlines. Positive publicity that can't be bought, as you see on the handout we gave to the counselors on the end. As well, dockside events were filled with family activities engaging people of all ages.
What the town provided was an opportunity for commerce and exploration of our assets. The return on investment from all accounts for the commercial sector was very positive. Our surveys showed an overall increase in visitors and spending, and as you can see by some of the pictures, our restaurants were full. This was taken on the Saturday night in our downtown core with the lineup. People went to the restaurants, they bought gas, they booked accommodations, they purchased souvenirs, and much more. The other key factor is that the Tall Ships Festival provided our own citizens with free, quality activities within their own community.
And some takeaway considerations. All ages and demographics came out to enjoy the Tall Ship Festival. Our American visitors commented that they appreciated the history reconnection with the region regarding the Battle of Lake Erie, and it was a good reason for them to return to Amherstburg. Locals very much came out to support. Businesses, local and regional, were very supportive with in-kind value added to make the experience for festival goers a success. Commemorative wine was produced under the special label Stowaway 1812 with Epic Wineries. Cooperation was key for all communities involved. This particular wine was sold out at all wineries.
We were pleasantly surprised with the numbers considering it was the Labor Day weekend and so much other programming and events going on in and around our area. People love to come to Amherstburg any time of the year. The other key point, it is worth investigation at some point for future development, perhaps of a municipal waterfront marina for tourism and cultural return on investment. Excellent, excellent response from visitors about the King's Navy Yard art and waterfront experience. The power of Facebook marketing is enormous when you commit dedicated facilitation of this tool, was another thing we found. In the end, cultural events proved to be a great draw. In closing, we feel that Amherstburg and the Tourism and Culture Department delivered on its mission to facilitate a significant commemorative event within budget. The bicentennial events, back-to-back, left behind some legacy projects that otherwise may have not had the attention or the funding. Events provided a large number of people that frequented our establishments, spent money in our town, and highlighted our history and other attractions for lasting effects. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne, for that presentation, yourself and Jennifer. Questions, comments of council at this time? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If it's appropriate, I'll make the motion to start, and I'd like to speak on it. I move the presentation be received and the report from the Manager of Tourism and Culture regarding Amherstburg 2013 Tall Ships Festival be received.
Councilor Davies supports that motion. Discussion? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just as a follow-up, I'd like to say that Ann and Jen, you guys did a great job for that weekend. It didn't matter where I went. One of you were around somewhere. It was on, I thought you were following me around, but maybe it was the other way around. But it was just great to see, and I think that everybody is really proud of our town, and so I know I certainly was, and the people that I spoke to were from far or away really enjoyed their time here. And Jen, just one last comment. You mentioned about the marriage proposal being a positive note. Ask the people in 10 years if it was.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a short thank you very much. I was the same way as Ron saw you. Both of you guys were all over the place. And the people that came were, actually, I brought a bunch of guests from Michigan, friends of ours, and they were in awe at the whole festival, the activities and everything that went on. Thank you very much for your hard work.
Councilor Pito.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Now, just, you know what? I'm the same way. It turned out wonderful. Ann and your crew, Jennifer, you do excellent, excellent work for our community. I'm proud of it. And thanks for a great weekend.
Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I feel the same way. You did a fabulous job. There was no question that the number of events that you have been teaming up with to do is just building and building the skill sets. And I received all kinds of positive comments about many of the activities. The one that I found was the most amazing, that took me back to 10 years old, was the movie in the park at night. Mm-hmm. There were thousands of people on the grass with their kids, almost like picnicking, watching the movie. And this was amazing. And I've had people ask, can we have that again? And so I'm hoping that we are able to do that as well. I mean, there are going to be many events and festivals that we can celebrate. That one left a lasting impression with me, as well as the Women's March, of course. I marched as a nurse, but it was just so amazing to see the thousands of people sitting on that grass watching that movie and the families clustering together, which is an opportunity that in this day and age, families don't have a good reason to sit down together outside to do something like that. So thank you for having thought of that as well.
Councilor Sutton, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just echo the sentiments of my colleagues. It was another first-class Amherstburg event, and something that tourism and culture consistently delivers on. You're beginning to spoil us and the residents and visitors alike, but keep that coming. We look forward to seeing what events we have to close the bicentennial year next year. And certainly, you know that you'll always have council support and anything that makes our town shine and brings the recognition on this municipality that it deserves, we're certainly supportive of. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Councilor Puget.
And I know that, you know, we could have a very long meeting, but I would be remiss if I didn't thank you also, and further to what Councilor Davies said. I know we were all disappointed when we couldn't have the fireworks the July long weekend because of the rain and everything, but you pulled it off during the festivities, and I think it was just perfect. You know, they stopped the show and everybody turned around and they watched the beautiful fireworks. So thank you very much to both of you.
Yeah, thank you. And just let me say, as mayor, on your report that you have given, the fact of the matter that the marketing that was done here was just outstanding. It was a tremendous effort, and certainly when you look at the investment that we in this community have made in the economic spinoff, it's tremendous. It's the commitment to, you know, and we fail sometimes to talk about it, but the volunteers that are committed to continuing to make Amherstburg, with their pride and their ownership, makes Amherstburg show who we are and what we can be. And so we are very appreciative of the Southwestern Ontario, the collaboration we have with the trails to see, and it's just amazing what you do to continue to polish Amherstburg's image, and we are so very appreciative of that fact, and we hope that you will extend those sentiments to all of the volunteers who have worked so hard on the town's behalf. We appreciate it ever so much. Next item. Did we get a motion to receive?
There is a motion, yes.
Yes. On the motion, all in favor? Carried unanimously. Next item.
Council supplementary item 10.2, the Ontario 55 Plus Summer Games. Kim Beaulieu and Calvin Little, co-chairs, and Janice Cooks and the Dean's General Manager.
Could I make a motion to bring item 17C up now and deal with it?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll make that
motion. Can be included. Can we get a supporter for that? Councillor Sutton, all in favor? Carried, and we'll deal with it at the conclusion of this presentation. Tim, if you would.
Thank you, Mayor Hirsch, Council and Administration. We definitely appreciate the opportunity to come here tonight, give you an update. We are 10 months away from the Ontario 55 Plus Summer Games, and we're excited to put on a show for, and just like you were talking to Ann and Jen about, same thing for our event. What we'd like to do is take a look at our games organizing committee. Last time we were here, which was a year ago, and time has flown by, there's been a few minor changes to it, most noticeably Janice Cookson, our general manager. We've hired Janice. She's taken over the operations side and really assisted us on getting the ball rolling. We started this in April of 2012. We did the organizing committee in September of last year. We've been at it now for, as an organizing committee, for 14 months. We have an excellent group. We're all pulling the rope the same way. And again, looking forward to August of this next year.
So we're just going to sort of walk through some of the highlights of what the event will look like, beginning with the opening ceremonies, which will be on Tuesday, August 19th, here in the town of Amherstburg at the United Communities Credit Union Complex. There will be, of course, opening speeches, parade of all of the participants, and typically this event will include representatives such as the Ontario Minister for Seniors and other dignitaries from both municipalities. And in particular, we'll include, we're really fortunate that Anne is one of our coordinators on the ceremonies and events portion, and we look forward to featuring local wines and foods as part of our opening ceremonies.
Our middle night, after a day of events, we're looking at bringing in the rivers one day early to the plaza, the Riverfront Plaza in Windsor. We're going to be able to give our participants 2 to 3 options of what they would like to do on that night. But as you can see, a boat cruise down the Detroit River, Ribfest, and then one other option that isn't up there right now.
Still being worked on.
Yeah.
And then just at the other end, of course, our closing ceremonies after the second day of competition will in the evening on August 21st, and that will be held at the Augustus Ballroom at Caesars in Windsor.
The games operation, our games office, for those that aren't aware, is located at the UCCU complex. Janice is there 5 days a week right now. Once we get to the games on Monday, August 18th to Friday, we're going to move that games headquarters to the St. Clair Center for the Arts in Windsor.
We're using the downtown Windsor hub as for a number of things, including our registration. So the St. Clair Center for the Arts will be our welcome center, and it will all be our registration center where all of the participants from across the province check in, get their accreditation for their events. And again, we're working with the college on that, as well as with our own administrative folks to streamline that process so that we move all of our 1,400 participants through hopefully a fairly quick turnaround in terms of their registration, accreditation, and get them to their accommodation.
Our goal with the shared, both Windsor and Amherstburg, was to share the number of sports activities, but also share the number of participants. And so we put our sport tech people to work, and we're looking at hosting 9 events here in Amherstburg and 9 events in Windsor, and again, sharing the participants as close as we can down the middle.
So we're gonna walk through some of the venues and some of the things that will be happening there. We're still finalizing the details on golf, but it will be in the municipality of Amherstburg. And we're currently in discussions with both Point West and Fox Glen. And once we make a final determination on that, we'll be able to report.
We'll also be going to the Verde Club, where we'll be hosting bocce and carpet bowling.
One of the things to note too is that in some venues we'll be catering at the venue, and in some other venues we'll be providing box lunches. But one of our commitments with our food and accommodation people is that no matter where you are and what sport you're participating in, everyone will get a very similar lunch. So at the United Communities Credit Union Complex, we have a number of events: predictive cycling, floor shuffleboard, contract bridge, cribbage, and horseshoes, and the folks from Horseshoes Ontario are bringing in temporary pits for us to be able to host that particular event in Amherstburg at the facility. And then there's some of the highlights, which you already know in terms of the complex.
Slow pitch, what we're looking at doing is using Centennial for our round robin, and then moving over to Waggle Park for our final.
In Fort Malden, for predictive walking, and again, some of this slide presentation was for some of our out-of-town guests, so that when we hosted the districts from across Ontario, they had their annual meeting in Windsor early in October, and we brought them out to Amherstburg for an afternoon tour of some of the venues and gave them a bit of history. So you can see that we're going to do our predictive walking at Fort Malden, and a bit of description about that.
There's a list of our Windsor venue. As you can see, the new St. Clair College Sportsplex, we're going to be using that for euchre, big euchre, and pickleball. And then all the way down, including the Royal Canadian Legion on Howard Avenue for our darts, Windsor lawn bowling, parkside tennis, and the new Windsor International Aquatic and Training Center.
Transportation. Pat Delmore, as you may have noticed on our org chart, is chairing our transportation. Amherstburg resident and also with Transit Windsor, and he will, so they will be providing our transportation services and the logistics of which is moving 1,400 participants and other delegates around between the two municipalities and all of the various venues, and of course getting people, shuttling people between venues as well, particularly the district coordinators who would have participants at all 18 sports and would like to be able to check in on them throughout the day.
Accommodation and meals. We have secured 5 downtown hotels. We will be doing centralized breakfast at the St. Clair Center for the Arts. And then, as Cal mentioned earlier, as far as box lunch, and if we have the ability to do on-site food and beverage at some of the facilities.
We do have a medical co-chair, and of course the any sporting event, regardless of age, being well prepared for any medical potential possibilities. So we will have on-site where it's required, and of course a team ready to roll.
On the volunteers, we're going to be using Sport Alliance Ontario database with the help of the International Children's Database that just happened. Our official recruitment campaign will happen in January of 2014, and volunteers, we're looking at approximately 400 volunteers in order to pull off this event.
Uh, Our chair of information technology has a clear vision that he would like to make these the paperless games, and instead of sort of the Bristol board posting of results and so on, our goal is to have all of the results visible at all of the venues, so people can not only see how their competitors did, but how their colleagues participating in other sports are participating in their successes. So we continue to develop that, but that's certainly our goal.
Sort of our roadmap for times currently, all the way through to April, we will be meeting monthly as we have been for the last 14 months, GOC meetings. Starting in May of next year, we'll be going to bi-weekly. We start our recruitment drive in January, as previously mentioned, and all the way down that we will have a dry run meeting in May of 2014. We asked in June of 2014 for the Ontario Senior Games to register everyone so we know how many people, who's coming, where they're coming from, how they're getting here. That gives us approximately a month and a half to plan once they've registered.
Every participant in the Ontario 55 Plus Summer Games earns the right to compete through their local competition at their local district. I know in the Windsor-Essex County area, those games typically begin in April and end somewhere towards the end of May. So the timing is such that, as Tim alluded to, that we should have all of their registration information by June so that we can act, but at the same time recognizing that the local competitions that generate the eligibility to compete happen in the spring in each of the 40 districts.
As you can see, our games budget, B1 is version 1. Our budget comes in at $826,750. That was our first kick at the can. We asked every subcommittee to come to us with their budget, and that's what we've come up with. Contingency of $10,000 is built into that $826,000. What I'll do is I'll let Cal go through the expenses.
Okay, so on the expense side, we've broken it into some larger categories, one of them being our operations team, which is really operating each of the sports, moving people around through transportation, our info technology, and our medical, and currently that estimate sits at $151,000. We call our foundation team, which is administration, registration, the ceremonies, special events, our marketing, and our volunteers, and currently our estimates from our co-chairs for those to provide all those is $365,000. Noting too that accommodation and meals are our single largest cost. There are 1,400 participants coming to town, as well as their other delegates, their district coordinators, and so on. So, housing and feeding 1,400 people over 3 days, we're estimating currently at $300,000.
On the revenue side, we have grants that we either have or have applied for, totaling $338,000. The Sport Alliance Ontario is the one that we have that we've been granted, that is $150,000. Registration will total $228,000, and sponsorship and value in kind will total $260,000. As I should have mentioned earlier, we are committed to a balanced budget. That is great from everyone on that GOC, we are committed to a balanced budget. If there is something that doesn't come in on the revenue side, then there will be something that we must reduce on the expense side. And everyone is very clear on that.
So that's the end of our formal presentation, but Janice, Tim, and I would be glad to answer any questions that the council may have.
Thank you very much, Cal. Any questions of council at this time? Councilor Davies.
Thank you very much for that presentation. It sounds like it's going to be another very exciting summer in Amherstburg and Windsor. One of the questions, you just talked about the volunteers, and I'm just wondering, is there a pool of the where you're going to be getting the volunteers from? Certainly, is there going to be a half and half split, or where we're going to get those volunteers? I realize that we are an amazing area to be willing to volunteer, but I just wondering if you have a plan.
We do have a plan. From the Amherstburg side and the volunteers, Karen Georgie is our co-chair. She definitely has her finger on the pulse of volunteers in Amherstburg. We will be recruiting. We will have a website. But really, Karen is going to go out in the town of Amherstburg and touch the volunteers that keep coming out event after event, ask them for their participation. The Windsor side will be working with, as it was mentioned, the International Children's Game group, but also through the United Way, touching their volunteer base. So we feel very confident that being able to pull a couple hundred volunteers from Amherstburg and a couple hundred volunteers from the Windsor group, we're very comfortable with that number.
I could maybe add one quick thing, and that's that each of our sports and the sports technical people, of course, will generate their own volunteers based on the expertise that they require for officiating their events, and that's included in our 400 number. So some of the volunteer recruitment will take place by the particularly in sports technical, but in some of the other areas as well, as they look for people with particular skills that they require.
Follow up, go ahead.
Thank you very much. And are you going to be having, are some of the participants going to be cross registering for more than one game, or are they specific to a game they're coming in for?
No, they each participant can only register or qualify for one game. Locally, often folks will participate in the local games in a number of events, but if they qualify for more than one, then they would have to determine which sport they would qualify or choose to participate in. And typically how it works with the Ontario Senior Games Association is that if someone was the gold medalist in two different sports and they declined one of them, then the runner-up would have the first right to represent their region in that event.
Anyone else? Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I just want to congratulate you. All of you have done a tremendous job. I'm not surprised that we would do it. I just have two questions, actually. Your opening ceremony, is that in combination with Windsor? Like, will it be held in Amherstburg, but it will be?
Only Amherstburg.
Only Amherstburg.
So we will be transporting every participant from the Windsor location here to Amherstburg, so all 1,400 participants will be here.
Good. Great. The second part of my question is, and I know that we've discussed it, Dean, is that it, the maximum amount of money that the in grants, or could we expect any other money coming in as a result of us hosting certain sports?
Well, there's two answers. So the grant from Sport Alliance Ontario was fixed at $150,000. We have also applied through my agency, Life After 50 in Windsor, sponsored a grant through the Ontario Trillium Foundation on behalf of the Games, and we are seeking approximately $147,000 in that grant application. We should know about that soon. Typically, it was at the last call for applications, so we expect to hear about that grant later in November. We've applied to the New Horizons for Seniors grants, and we'll expect to hear about those in January. The other thing that we continually do is look at other granting opportunities that appear. As an example, we recently reviewed the Celebrate Ontario grants. We determined that it wasn't the right fit for this particular initiative, but there are others that may come up as well. In addition, I think we saw on the slide, we also applied to the Windsor Essex Community Foundation for some funding to support, in particular, our education and our legacy parts of our games. So one of our tasks and one of Janice's tasks is to continually identify other options and opportunities for us in that area.
Anyone else? Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm just wondering if there's 1,400 participants. Are they known to bring their families, friends? So do you have any idea what kind of a spinoff that would be as far as people coming into the region?
Many will bring a spouse or friends with them. One of the unique differences, I'll say, from, say, the children's games that were in the region recently is that as older adults, they're a little more independent and a little more interested in maybe doing some sightseeing and tasting some of the things that we have to offer in the region. And so some of our organizing from a ceremonies and events piece is designed to meet that as well, working with our committee and in particular with Tourism Windsor, Essex Pelee Island. We're developing what we call shoulder events, so people coming in early to experience tours of the region or choosing to stay later. The advantage of the games being a Tuesday to Thursday is it will allow individuals to plan to come to town early or to stay after, and that's will be a strong part of our marketing to the districts as we get to that stage. So I would say that we're estimating perhaps another few hundred that would come as spouses and partners and so on, but we're actually hoping that the uniqueness of this region will allow us to attract more than previous games have.
Anyone else? With the council's pleasure with the presentation. Councillor Pienaar, if you would, and item 17 would be included in it, I would hope.
I'll move the presentation to be received, and also item 17C also be received.
There's support for that motion. Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Further dialogue? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? It's carried. And once again, Tim, Calvin, and certainly we appreciate you as co-chairs and all the work that you are doing, and certainly the general manager, Janice. So we appreciate your efforts, and we look forward to this event coming to Amherstburg and Windsor. And I always call us the A&W connection, and it's going to work out quite well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item, Your Worship, item 15.1, town property damage cost recovery from legislative services.
It's Councilor's pleasure relative to Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report from the Deputy Clerk, West Manager, dated the 21st of October regarding town property damage cost recovery be received, and that Council delegate the authority to the Deputy Clerk, West Manager, to pursue and settle with third parties for recovery of town property damage claims, and further bylaw 213-106, being a bylaw to delegate authority to Deputy Clerk, West Manager, to take in as having read three times and finally passed, and the Mayor and Clerk be authorized to sign the paper.
They're supported for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland, any discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 15.2, Fighting Island Amateur Boxing Club Renewal of Lease Agreement.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. I move that report be received, that Council approve the execution of the lease agreement for an additional 12-month period, and that bylaw 2013-105, being a bylaw to authorize the renewal of the lease agreement between the Corporation of the Town of Amherstburg and the Fighting Island Amateur Boxing Club, be read three times, finally passed, and the Mayor and Clerk be authorized to sign same.
There is support for that motion. Councillor Pienaar supports that motion. Any discussion? Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Are we recouping all the costs associated with renting this out?
Tim, Dean, if you would.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not 100% sure. I wasn't prepared for the question, to be honest, but I can definitely get back to you with a cost-benefit analysis. Instinctively, I would say probably not. The cost of a building would outweigh the nominal rent that we're charging, but if you let me, I'll get back to you with an answer.
Perhaps. Paula, could you respond to that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regards to that, I believe that we are recouping just the costs for the building itself. Last year, we did not increase by the 2%, and we were recouping those building costs last year as well.
Go ahead.
As a follow-up, so I know that we're supposed to be looking at all our assets and our parks. And, you know, it's obviously too late for this, but could we have that included within the budget for next year if we could, you know, rent this out and make more money sometimes you can rent it out during the day and then have a section for them at night or something, but if we could just have a report on that, whether or not it might be more viable if we could rent out that building or whatever, instead of...
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Absolutely. We can always look at those things if... I'm just trying to think of how to answer that. The boxing club occupies every square inch of that building. It's an older building, and its uses are kind of limited. To develop it for other uses would cost a fairly significant capital amount. But I could definitely take a look at it.
The thing is, would you get tenants? And the answer probably is you wouldn't, and that's the reason. That's why it became available to the boxing club.
Respectfully, that's my instinct, but I can, with direction from council, I'll follow up on any question you have.
Okay. Yes, Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand where Councillor Puget is coming from, because we are under a lot of pressure to make sure all our assets are tight and that we are able to account for everything. The dynamic with the Fighting Island Amateur Boxing Club is it's also a program to support young people to be active and to build self-esteem. And I think it's almost like a program that you would get with Parks and Rec. It's not necessarily a money maker, but it would be useful to get a sense through you, Mr. Mayor, to Dean, to look at the cost benefits of the social activity that goes on there, because it really is a program that many of our youth benefit very highly from. That if we outprice ourselves, we may lose the kids who could in fact use the place. So it's just a kind of a thought of a social marketing.
On the motion, Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to echo some of those thoughts of Councillor Davies, when the Kinsman Club saw its demise and the building was sitting vacant without much use, the Fighting Island Boxing Club came forward and I think presented the town with what's been a win-win situation. We've been able to recoup some of the costs of maintaining that building. We've got a valuable program in there that benefits our residents. And, as Dean alluded to, I think there'd be some significant capital outlay involved if we were to look at trying to go after other groups of tenants in an effort to maybe raise a few more dollars. At the same time, the rent during the day and then be have a home at night, I think just because of the nature of their equipment and their setup, that would be pretty prohibitive as well. So certainly we'll look forward to seeing the cost-benefit analysis, but at the same time, it's better to get something rather than let it sit vacant.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
The next item, 16, reports from the CAO's office, 16.1, request for repeal of heritage designation bylaw, 1105 Front Road South, Amherstburg.
Just for council's information, that request that is before you, I think we should be aware of the fact that there is already a motion that had been passed by this particular council was back in, I think it was October and in order for that to be repealed, it would have to take 2/3 majority. That being said, I think we should deal with that aspect of it first, and if that doesn't take place, there's no point in even discussing it. And I would entertain a motion that would come forward to repeal this designation bylaw. Councilor, go ahead. Sure.
Yes, it, as you stated, Mayor Hurst, it's already come before council. It was voted on. And we decided it was very clear, with the exception of yourself and Councilor Pialon and Councilor Sutton, it was very clear that we had to send it to the Heritage Committee, which we did. We received information from them asking them not to repeal this bylaw and to send it to the proper committee, as we are obligated to do. We voted on that. It was very clear. And I don't believe this should be brought before us. It is my understanding, and I'm speaking on this point of clarification. It can only be brought back if a member of this council brings it back, not the CAO. And further to that, it has to be a two-thirds majority that votes to repeal it.
And that's, we're being redundant, that was already said.
I know.
But the point that I'm making, and don't overlook that fact, the point that I'm making is not to, the CAO has nothing to do with this motion. The point that I'm making here is from this legislative body, is there a motion coming forward to appeal, to repeal the existing bylaw that is in place? And that's the proper way to do it. Councillor Davies?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you, and I'm certainly not supporting this, but should we...
But there's no motion on the floor yet, so you...
Yeah, I know. So should we receive
it.
This report?
No.
And then,
my
no?
point is, if you would just listen to me, there's been a... What I'm asking this particular body, does anyone want to come forward with an appeal to this particular bylaw, with a repeal? Councillor Sutter.
I'll move we reconsider.
A motion has been moved, supported by Councillor Pilon. The discussion has been taken, Councillor Pilon.
Just, I think there's been some new information come to us about it, and as Councillor Pugie had talked earlier about trying to save money and make more money on renting buildings. Maybe we should look at the fact of what could happen down the road here. As you know, regulations changed, the act changed there, and it's just different rules for the people that have had their house designated in this.
But if I could,
that's why I'm saying we need.
But what I'm saying to you this evening, this is a motion to repeal.
Yeah.
No discussion relative to that. It's just to see if we've got a support for the motion on the floor. There's a supporter for that motion, and now it's time to vote on that motion. All in favor of repealing that motion?
I'm asking for a recorded vote.
Yeah, sure. Reconsider, yes.
Councillor Davies?
Opposed.
Councillor DePasquale?
Opposed.
Councillor Pilon?
Support.
Councillor Pugie?
Opposed.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland?
Opposed.
Councillor Sutton?
Support.
Mayor Hirsch.
Support.
Motion lost.
Motion is lost. Next item.
The next item is item 16.
The motion is lost. There's no motion.
The next item is 16.2, 2013 Small Rural and Northern Municipal Infrastructure Fund Application for Texas Road Reconstruction Program.
It's council's pleasure. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that report be received, that Texas Road Reconstruction Project set out herein is approved for submission under the 2013 Small Rural and Northern Municipal Infrastructure Fund, and that the following declaration as it's listed be included with the expression of interest submission.
Is supported for that motion? Councillor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to speak on this. I definitely support it. It's just that it was very, and in fact, I had a motion prepared to do this. I was unaware that this came before us at the very last minute. But it's very difficult to understand and very embarrassing that the town of Amherstburg has the highest debt per person, yet we were the only municipality that did not apply for this $2 million grant until tonight. And a council was forced to hold the Texas Road project in abeyance because of our financial problems. Further to that, council directed administration to search for any and all grants available to complete much needed infrastructure and to ease the burden of the taxpayers. But this was not done in a timely fashion. We all have heard the excuse of time constraints, yet all other municipalities, with the exception of Essex, was able to get theirs in on time. In fact, the mayor of LaSalle called their council to an emergency meeting last Friday. Why didn't our mayor take the same initiative on behalf of our residents to pass a resolution as required? According to a copy of the application provided to myself and others by an outstanding citizen, the criteria is very clear that the town was required, that the expression of interest was accurate, the asset management plan is in place or will be completed by December 31st, 2013, and our comprehensive management plan will be made public by May 30th, 2014. I know that the CAO made a statement at the Chamber of Commerce that the reason we couldn't apply was because our asset management plan wasn't in place. But in actuality, we didn't have to have it in place as long as it was there by December 31st, 2013. I'm very grateful that, and thank you to this very astute citizen that she took it upon herself. She contacted, Natichak's office. She was able to receive this, and she was able to forward it to our attention because I had not been told anything else other than the asset management wasn't in place. So I definitely will support this.
Any further discussions? Yes.
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Mayor, if I may. Tony, to you, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Tony. I see that it says here if it's approved, the thing will be completed by December 31st, 2015. Is that the actual reconstruction of Texas Road by the 31st of December 2015?
Mr. Mayor, through you to Councillor Sutton, Councillor Sutherland. The December 2015, that's the date that construction needs to be completed by. What they're looking for is shovel-ready projects, and they're looking to move those projects forward. We'll be here. There's a three-phase part to this grant. We'll be hearing back from the province if we've passed the expression of interest phase by the beginning of December. If we get past that phase, then we'll have to make an application to the province, and we'll know by that application needs to be in place to the province by the middle of January. And if we're successful at that point, then we'll have we'll know if we're successful by the middle of March, and then we proceed from there.
Your Worship, if I could add to that. Actually, Council may recall that we are holding tender bids, and they're good until, I think, March the 30th of next year. And I think Council was informed at a previous meeting that it was anticipated if Council accepts those bids by before next March 30th, that the project still would be completed in 2014. It was the ministry that required this because they want to ensure that all projects are done by December 31st, 2015.
Yes.
Thank you. That's just what I wanted clarification on because that's what the motion that I moved at the last meeting, or when it was, that this would be done by the end of 2014. So I just want that on the table so that.
I think the big thing we have to hope for is that this application is a fit. That's the key.
Exactly.
That's the
providing on this criteria, if we get it, that it'll be done by the end of next year.
On the motion. Councillor Sutton.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to administration for getting this together and getting it submitted in a timely fashion so that we can seek out that funding. We all know that grant applications are just that, an application, and we want to be successful. We certainly want to present a unified front, and let's hope that we can. But at the same time, if we're unsuccessful, Texas Road, make no mistake, is still our responsibility, and heck or high water, we're going to have to find a way to get that road done. So it's not the time to do anything but be positive and move forward.
We'll have ample time to discuss this at another time. On the motion, all in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
That's item 17, information reports. Council, there are two items before you, A and B.
Councilor Petal.
Motion to receive. Items A and B.
There's support for that. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that. Motion, discussion? All in favor? Again, motion is, yes.
Regarding the accounts payable, can I ask questions on that?
Go ahead.
Okay, for page 48, we paid Labatt Management Consulting Services $3,051 for September. When did council give direction to hire this firm?
I don't have that bill in front of me, but I don't recall council giving specific direction for that at all. Council gave direction early this year for, as I understand it, or late last year, for LAVAC to provide a report to this council with respect to the SAP, the salary administration program, and there's continuing work throughout, so one would assume that council's approval was provided then.
Councilor Puget, you have a follow-up.
Yes, I do, because I don't believe that we've had LAVAC management do any work in September. So, you know, usually a report comes to council regarding that. Because we don't have ongoing, Mr. LAVAC isn't hired as ongoing. It's only, he was hired to do the restructuring, and council agreed on that many, many, many months ago. So I don't, and our inside and outside workers, all of their contracts were reached, I believe it was in March or early spring. So I really don't know why he would have a bill before us in September.
I think what had been stated here, no one's familiar with that question coming forward, but direction can be given to administration to investigate and respond back to exactly your question and concern.
Okay, thank you. Any other question?
Yeah, go ahead.
On page 48 also, there's a bill for $5,325 for the McTague Law Firm. Why wasn't our own law firm used, and what was this bill for?
Your Worship, I'd be glad to look into that and get back to council.
Okay. Yep, go ahead.
Page 52, Phipps Consulting, CAO. The bill is for $18,404. Is that for just the month of September, or is that a... Because it doesn't give a breakdown. It just says September.
That would be for the month of September. You're quite correct.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Councilor Pino.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This is precisely why our agenda is giving out in advance, so that if we do have questions, the administration can be ready. We serve no purpose tonight because we got no answers, that's all. If they had been aware, they would have had answers ready for you tonight. And I think that's one of the reasons for getting our agenda early.
Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. Through you to Councillor Pion. Just so happens that my jump drive did not work 2 weeks ago, and it did not work again this week. And you know why? Because no one knows what my my new password is. So, you know, before, I always responded and sent my questions in a timely fashion. But when we're blindsided by in-camera meetings, I feel that, you know, if it's good for them, it's good for us. So.
Next item.
Thank you, Your Worship. Item 18, consent of other minutes. There's one item before you.
With the council's pleasure, relative to the Heritage Committee minutes, Councilor DePasquale.
Move the minutes we received.
It's been moved, supported by Councillor Davies. Discussions on those particular minutes? No discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 19, correspondence 19.1, Purple Day, March 26, 2014.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move the correspondence regarding Purple Day be received and that council proclaim March 26, 2014 as Purple Day in the town of Amherstburg.
Your supporter, Deputy Mayor Sutherland, supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried. And Councillor Davey, the dress for the occasion. Okay, so I will, whereas Purple Day is a global effort dedicated to promoting epilepsy awareness in countries around the world, and whereas epilepsy is one of the most common neurological conditions, estimated to affect over 50 million people worldwide and over 3 million people in the United States, and whereas 1 in 10 persons will have at least one seizure during their lifetime, and whereas the public is often unable to recognize common seizure types or how to respond with appropriate first aid, and whereas Purple Day will be celebrated on March 26th annually to increase understanding, reduce stigma, and improve the quality of life for people with epilepsy throughout the country and globally, now therefore I, Mayor Wayne Hurst, do hereby proclaim March 26, 2014, Purple Day in the town of Amherstburg. And that brings us to?
Unfinished business.
Councillor Puget, followed by Councillor Pilon.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I'm requesting that Council receive an update on viewpoints. It was a marketing firm that was hired about 8 months ago, I believe it was, maybe 10 months ago. And I'm asking that Council find out about that, or report back to Council.
As a matter of fact, Your Worship, that is scheduled, I believe, for the next council meeting.
Okay. Dean?
Not the one.
To you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we received a second to final edit. We have a few more edits left to submit back. There was a bit of distance in time between when we submitted our first set of changes and when the next version came back. So it's been a process. I'm not going to...
But will you be able to report back? Are you going to be able to report back at our next meeting?
If I, just because I'm not quite sure about that, I don't want to promise for next council meeting if that's okay, but I promise that very soon, in the next two or three council meetings, it just depends on how fast these edits come back for us to get final approval.
Okay, that's good.
Item 21, new business.
Unfinished business, Councilor Keel.
Thank you. Yes, and again, I brought this up a couple meetings ago. The corner of Sandridge and Pickering, the pedestrian countdown sign, that's still not there. And as you yourself, Mr. Mayor, said, it is a safety item with the apartments we have in the area. So I don't know what the excuse is now, but please get on somebody to get it fixed.
I can respond to that. We just wanted to confirm through our budget that we still had that on track for that, and Eric has confirmed and had meetings with Ed Gibbs, and that will be done shortly. It's planned.
There's nothing more under unfinished new business?
Unfinished?
Yep, Councillor Puget.
Yes, further to the unfinished business, Council's still waiting for a report that we requested, I believe it was June 24th, regarding the fire chief's report. He was directed to give us a report. It's still not, hasn't come before council. And further to that, the report regarding the EIC. So.
Jill, you got a question?
I know that the EIC, what was the first one? I forgot.
It was regarding, Council asked the fire chief, I think I have a copy here, there was a motion to direct the fire chief to provide council with a full report regarding the last time the Emergency Information Center volunteers were provided with a training exercise by the fire chief, whereby the EIC were allowed to practice and use their equipment and to provide this council with a complete log of all times.
Provide a copy of that for the CAO so he can have it.
The EIC. equipment has been checked in the past 4 years, and further set a date for an immediate training session for the EIC has been repeatedly requested by this group.
Okay. Anything else under unfinished business? New business. Councilor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So you would like to put forward a motion to direct administration to comply with the provisions of the Ontario Heritage Act by proceeding to the Conservation Review Board, CRB, under Section 32 of the Ontario Heritage Act, with the request for the repeal of the heritage designation by law for 1105 Front Road South, Amherstburg.
My only concern relative to that is, what's the purpose of it? There's nothing there. You know what I'm saying?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, it's up to the appellant who wants the bylaw be revoked to initiate that step. It's not up to council. That's his recourse for council denying his appeal to have the bylaw revoked.
Brenda, would you respond, please?
Thank you, Your Worship. Mr. Levesque did proceed with an appeal to council's decision, and as course of action, we did let the Conservation Review Board know, and we've already had a pre-hearing, so we're in that process right now. We'll just continue along as there was no action this evening to change that direction.
Thank you.
I withdraw my motion.
It's not even there because it hadn't been supported, so it's okay. Okay. Anything else under new business? I'll bring this to in-camera.
There are two in-camera meetings to report out on. Council met at 7:33 p.m. on October 21st for a special in-camera meeting to discuss one item as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A is the reorganization, heard under Section 239 2B and D of the Municipal Act. There is nothing further to report on this matter. Council met at 6:30 p.m. on November the 4th for a special in-camera meeting to discuss one item as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A, mass and litigation update, heard under Section 239 2F of the Municipal Act. There is nothing further to report on this matter.
Next item.
Notices of motion, number 20.
Are there any notices of motion? You can read it, yeah, sure.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make this notice of motion before council. Whereas Part 6 of the Municipal Act establishes the practices and procedures for municipal organizations and administration, and whereas Section 224 of the Municipal Act establishes and outlines the role of council in the governance of municipal affairs conducted in the municipality, in particular, Section D, to ensure that administration's policies, practices, and procedures, and controllership policies, practices, and procedures are in place to implement the decisions of council. Section D1, to ensure the accountability and transparency of operations of the municipality, including the activities of the senior management of the municipality, and Section E, to maintain the financial integrity of the municipality. Now, therefore, with the many personal changes dealing with financial matters and policies within the municipality during the term of this council, I hereby make a notice of motion that council direct administration to arrange for an audit of the town of Amherstburg's finances and financial procedures, and further that a request for proposals be prepared for the completion of the service approved by council prior to the advertising.
Any other notices of motion? Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I, Councillor Diane Pouget, hereby provide notice of motion to the Town of Amherstburg Council to request administration to direct all department heads to provide council with a 5% reduction of their proposed 2014 operational budget expenses to be completed by January 2014.
Any further notices of motions? Hearing none, that brings us to bylaws.
In bylaws, Council 24.1, bylaw 2013-71, 4th Concession Drain South, final reading.
Deputy Mayor Southern.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that bylaw 71 for 2014, being a bylaw to provide for the repair and improvement of the 4th Concession Road Drain South based on the drainage report by Crozier Barrett Engineers, be read a third and final time, and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
There is support for that. Councilor Davies, discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 24.2, bylaw 2013-107, appoint bank signing authorities.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you. Move that bylaw 2013-108, being a bylaw to appoint a deputy treasurer, be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
You jumped one.
Oh, did I jump one?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My apologies. Let me scroll back up. There we go. Bylaw 2013-107, being a bylaw to appoint bank signing authorities, be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
There's support for that. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Discussions? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. In the event that the mayor is not available, is there any authorization for the deputy mayor to sign any checks? You're already on here.
You guys should need to converse with that so she would know.
I wasn't asked a question before. Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
So that's my question. Whether or not the deputy mayor has authority.
Yeah. It's in the bylaw. He's one of them.
But it doesn't say it. It just says the mayor and the clerk.
No, it says the mayor or the deputy mayor together with any one of the following.
Not on mine. On mine it says that bylaw 2013-107 be in a bylaw to appoint bank signing authorities be taken as having been read three times and finally passed and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
But if you go to the actual bylaw, Councilor, you'll see that it's there.
Oh, well, I'm having problems with my computer again, yeah. So.
Obviously not.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 24.3, bylaw 2013-108, appointment of a deputy treasurer.
Go ahead. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll take over from Councilor Sutton. I move that bylaw 108 for 2014, being a bylaw to adopt or to appoint, rather, a deputy treasurer, be taken as having been read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized the same on the same note.
Supported by Councilor Pino. Further discussion? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
And item 24.4, the confirmatory bylaw.
Councilor Pino.
Move bylaw 2013-109 being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on November 4th being taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
You're supported for that. Councilor Sutton. All in favor? Motion is carried. Next item.
The adjournment.
Councilor Davies, been moved, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Motion is carried.